Welcome to Tribe Talk, the podcast produced by Tribe of Women. I'm Amy Robinson, your host and founder of Tribe of Women. In these episodes, we bring you the stories, experiences, and wisdom of women from around the world, women like you. Listen and connect as we explore our likenesses, appreciate our differences, and learn to grow the tribe together. Thank you for being here. Let's get started.
Hello, lovelies. I am so excited about our episode today. Whether this is your first time joining Tribe Talk or you've been a longtime listener, I am so happy you're here. We have been growing and changing and experimenting with Tribe of Women and Tribe Talk and with what resonates and benefits you the most. So I hope you'll enjoy some of the changes that we're making, because having a company is like raising a child. Just when you think that you have an age or a stage figured out, growth happens and what is needed changes. So what we always know is that we want to be additive to your life and inclusive of our community. So 2019 is our year of and. I remember when I learned about the power of the word and, both when we say things to others and when we say things to ourselves. When we use the word but, it negates everything that we said prior to that. For example, like, I love you, but you're driving me crazy. I might as well have just said you're driving me crazy, because essentially that's what I said. So what if we used and instead of but? It would come out like this. I love you, and that's why I'm struggling with what you're doing, because it's driving me crazy. I love you doesn't go away. And when we say things like that to ourselves, I love you, but that was a really stupid thing to do, it would come out, I love you, and you need to do better next time because I know that you're capable. And changes everything. So I hope you'll join us on our and journey while we strive to make sure that the stories we bring are additive to your life. And I also hope that you'll try it yourself, like right now, today. All day long, go around, take your butts, make them into ands, and see what kind of difference they make. In the meantime, we would like to bring an additive story that is enriching the lives and friendships of women around the world. Olivia is the founder and CEO of Heyvina, a friend-finding app for women. To add to the loveliness of how Olivia came to be on the podcast is another tribe story. Our content director is one of our previous guests, Brittany Galla, who joined us on Tribe Talk in Season 1, Episode 11, when she helped launch the magazine Teen Boss. She shed so much light on Gen Z for us that I hope you'll get a chance to listen to that episode as well. So when Brittany joined Heyvina, she thought of us and brought Olivia our way. We're so happy she did, and we know that you will be too.
Well, Olivia June, welcome. I love your name. Can I just start by saying that? I adore your name.
Thank you. My parents are pretty cool.
Well, you are here because Heyvina is an app, a friend-finding app for women. And the Heyvina is online. And I went to the website, and one of the reasons that I knew that we were going to connect and I needed to talk to you was because, in your own words, you started Heyvina, which for women, because, and I quote, it only takes one friend to change our entire lives, and that nothing makes us feel more confident, secure, happy, and free than a supportive group of friends. When women have the tools to connect, support, and empower each other, we can truly change the world for the better together. Oh my gosh, you can speak tribe eloquently. That is beautiful, and that created a sisterhood between us immediately.
Amazing. Well, it couldn't be words that are more true to literally everything I believe in. And, you know, I really write from the heart, and everything I do with Nina is truly from my own heart.
I love that. I love that. Well, one of the things that struck me about this app and some of the other things that you talk a little bit about on the website and just in general are finding friends at different ages and stages in our lives. Like our friendships sometimes have seasons, and in this digital age that we live in, and the go, 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 and the hustle, and all of the things that we do day to day. Tell me a little bit about what you observe about friends that we find at these different ages and stages in our lives.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's very interesting as we look at our friendships. There are certain ones that we stick to forever, the ones that we grew up with since mm-hmm. we were children. And I really put those in the category of, like, family friends. Like, yeah. they become your family. Yeah. And, you know, there's kind of a lot of social rules go out the window in regards to, like, how you manage that friendship. And sometimes, you know, you won't speak to them for quite some time, but you know that they're always, you know, they always have your back.
Yeah.
And your lives may go in completely different directions, and mm-hmm. you may not, you know, have a lot of common ground anymore beyond your history. And that's absolutely okay and a really natural thing to happen.
Yes.
You know, we see today that our lives, you know, really go at drastically different paces. I think in our grandparents' generation, it was kind of everyone was along the same schedule. At a certain ages, you did different activities. You went to college, you settled down and got a house, you know, very much kind of
lived
went
in the
on
same
this
neighborhood.
Life path.
Yeah.
Exactly. And now I feel like, you know, we have so many options, which is so wonderful, but adds a lot of different life challenges. For example, mm-hmm. like, you know, our childbearing years are about 20 years wide now, and
yeah.
that's kind of like the very normal trend that, you know, anywhere between 20 and 25 years you might be starting your family,
mm-hmm.
and it's even widening even further with freezing our eggs, which is fantastic that we have such an option to choose, but really
right.
means that our peer group is really shifting and evolving at different times. And, you know, we'll go through many of these life changes where we're pursuing a different career, or we're moving cities, or we're getting in and out of relationships, or we're our friends are starting families and we're not, or vice
mm-hmm.
versa. And all of these things become catalysts where you are suddenly realizing, oh my gosh, I want to have people who are going through this shared experience, or perhaps
mm-hmm.
you're even realizing that you have hobbies or passions that don't necessarily align with, you know, your former friend or good existing friend's interests. And so it's the thing that I feel like allows us to be living our most authentic lives is when we're able to have people around us to support those dreams, as opposed to feeling like you have to stay and fit in with an existing social circle that you have. I think that it can be infinitely expanding and evolving because we're all so multifaceted.
Yes. Well, and it's hard to evolve into that as well, and kind of almost give ourselves permission to have those multitudes, we call them tribes, of course, those a lot of different tribes in our lives, and some of the tribes overlap and some of them don't. But that, you know, that age and stage and that flow and our ability to grow as people is very true. And we do find our forever friends, is what we call what you described. We do find our forever friends in those critical moments in time. But we also find what we call for now friends, like, you know, mom groups
mm-hmm.
and, you know, things like that, or interest groups like hiking clubs or any number of things where, you know, we have those friends and we bond with them around sometimes a crisis, a divorce or a health scare. But we also bond, and sometimes we find our forever friends through those bonds, but sometimes they just go and they ebb and flow. And I find it really interesting exactly what you're talking about is it's almost like we have to give people permission to dive in, and sometimes dive in really deep and then let go. And that's really cool. And I think that you're creating an environment through Heyvina of some of those permissions. Do you see some of that?
Absolutely. I mean, friendship is our most voluntary relationship that we have, and our most flexible and
mm-hmm.
most, you know, naturally evolving, because it takes a big movement and catalyst when you break off a relationship or you break
mm-hmm.
off a connection with a family member. These are really traumatic experiences typically, or very emotionally, and involve like a deep conversation and,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of thought, and are very big movements. But it isn't the same way with friendship, which is a very natural thing, but it's not something we necessarily spend a lot of time thinking about.
Yeah. How do you feel like the other thing that we talk a lot about through Tribe of Women is nurturing our relationships, and that the active seeking out and connecting, but also the healthy habits of tribe that we try to have. And it could be anything from, you know, a regular girls' night to simply sending people a text and saying, hey, I'm thinking about you. But this nurturing of those relationships, and how, you know, that even though we may connect in a very organic way, being very intentional about maintaining those healthy tribes and those healthy relationships, being part of that. How do you think Heyvina is encouraging that, or even enabling that?
Yeah, I mean, making new friends takes, and like managing and nurturing those friendships, it takes a lot of work. And I think mm-hmm. I think it's oftentimes we think it should be really easy, because mm-hmm. when we were children and we were at school, it was very easy to see people every single day and have time for play and time for conversations. Mm-hmm. But as we become adults, we have to really invest in making that time, creating that space, and asking those, you know, vulnerable and emotionally vulnerable questions. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we did on Vina to really help this along, beyond just the matching and finding and discovering the potential new friend, is we added a plans feature that allows you to create activities that you wanted to do with people and post them on Vina to either the existing matches you have, so mm-hmm. that it's just the people that you've already said yes to, or awesome. It's everyone in the entire area around you, or you can invite specific individuals and they can invite people as well. So it's kind of a social planning tool at the intersection of like an e-vite, but a little bit less formal.
That's so
and so fun. We think it's really important to do that, because it's so easy to you know, for our schedules to get packed, and in the name of mm-hmm. self-care, we often end up neglecting our friendships. But yeah. The reality is that these friendships and these time with those friends, it is self-care.
It is self-care. Amen. Absolutely. I agree with that fully. I love that. I recently came across, I'm not sure if you've seen this, there's a group called Fly Sisters, and they are literally sisters that like to go fly fishing. And they started inviting women to go with them, to go and be in nature and hang out and either teach them or find people that like to do that as well. And it's grown into an international group. And really, that's exactly what they do, is they just say, hey, I'm going here. I'm going to be here. Join us if you want to. And they have groups all over the country, but they come from all over the world. And that's Facebook enabled. But I think it's an amazing, just kind of that open invitation is vital. It's very, very vital in this kind of digital age. And like you said, we have so many more options, but at the same time, I feel like we're lonelier. We're more isolating. I feel like sometimes the digital age kind of says to us, hey, you can connect with people via a screen, but we have to remember that getting in touch personally is very important as well. How do you feel like in this digital age that making friends is either harder or easier, or how do you see people navigating that right now?
It's really interesting. I think, you know, there's this phenomenon going around. There's this phenomenon called the parasocial effect that was initially created in the, or like identified in the 1960s around housewives mm-hmm. who were developing these, what they felt were real friendships, but were fictitious friendships with soap opera characters. They weren't real people. Mm-hmm. They were just these characters that they were spending a lot of time at home with throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And we've actually started to do this in our friendships with people mm-hmm. Through social media and through reality television. And these are real people living real lives, and you might even know them. Mm-hmm. But we're experiencing like their lives as if they're telling it about us, mm-hmm. or telling us about it. Mm-hmm. And but the interesting thing is that we're not experiencing the relationship on both ways. And so the other person is being seen, but you're not being seen. You're not having an energy exchange when you're in person with them. You're not, you know, the touch, the eye contact. And these are really important aspects of, you know, nurturing and spending time with other people. I don't know if you know this, but loneliness and not having, you know, spending time with your social, with people, is actually the number one predictor of mortality, and is so bad for your health. Yeah. It's the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Yes, yes.
But I think, like you were saying, you know, we're so busy with everything in our lives. It's very easy to say, okay, well, I need to go home and rest. I'll get under my blanket, walk, throw some Netflix on, and scroll through Instagram and chat with my friends via text.
Yeah.
But this is actually just, you know, continuing to actually be more of a draining experience and not actually necessarily what we might think of as being a self-care and relaxing experience. Because we really need to be spending time in person with people and investing in getting out there. And it might sound tiring and exhausting, like a lot of work, but, and which it is work, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll get feedback from some of our members sometimes who are on Vina, and they're like, oh, this is taking so long, it's so hard, like, because we're so used to this instant gratification,
yeah.
But it is hard. It takes time to find your people. It's never going to be an instant thing.
Exactly. Well, and I think that, you know, part of what you're talking about is that, you know, we have information overload all the time. So we think that we've had this false perception of having these social interactions and taking in all this information, and then we are exhausted at the end of the day and we just want to crawl into bed, especially, you know, if we start talking about people that are more introverted or extroverted. You know, I think that is, you know, we have these perceptions that we've done that. The other thing about perception and social media or where we are right now is simply that everybody else's life is beautiful and ours is a mess. And we don't, you know, the authentic relationships that we have the opportunities to have. And that's, you know, why we tell a lot of stories of women is because when we share our true selves, we realize how much we have in common and how similar we are. And one of the things that, you know, in our workshops we tell women about social media is that it's our job as the viewer to know that everybody has stuff. Everybody has a mess that they're trying to clean up. Everybody is a mess. And that it's not really up to you to put that out there. Like, it may be the one moment of the day that somebody had captured to remind themselves that life is beautiful, and that's what they chose to share. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's on me, the person that's looking at that, to know that in order to get that beautiful picture in white with her children on the beach, probably was, you know, 3 hours of wrestling and screaming and crying and everything else just to capture that moment. So what are you trying to accomplish just as a friend app in this age of comparing each other and looking at each other as perfect and kind of this beating ourselves up over, well, FOMO, Brené Brown. I don't know if you are familiar with her, but I love her.
Mm-hmm.
And she called, you know, the fear of missing out is huge for us. So how is this filling some of that self-perception challenge that we have?
Well, I think a lot of our healing and, you know, our ability to step out of this, you know, hole of comparing and looking at the beautiful magazines that everyone's created of their lives, mm-hmm. is just going out and living it.
Yeah.
And, you know, spending that time, making plans, getting outside of your house and getting out, doing things with other people that you like and you enjoy spending time with, because, you know, you're not going to be thinking about, you know, how someone's beautiful, perfect cake that they baked at home and their perfect dinner party if you're busy doing your own thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really important that we, you know, we know that it's not healthy to watch TV for hours and hours a day. It's not healthy to, if you're looking at it like the internet and browsing the internet, it's the same exact thing. You know, we need to be out investing in the things that we love, whether it's, you know, hobby or having a really great conversation or reading a book. And when you're doing these things that you love and care about, you won't be focused on those things. And through Vina, we really help you find the people to do that with. You know, the app itself is very minimalistic, and You know, we try to keep it very beautiful experience. And but you'll notice that compared to a lot of apps, we're a lot less photo driven.
Yeah.
So you'll each profile has, you know, one profile photo, and then you can connect your Instagram to it if you want to share a little bit more about your life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really focused on the personality questions, the quizzes, and the things that actually like show people who you are and what you like and what you care about. And I'm a huge advocate for getting pretty direct and vulnerable in there. Like,
yeah.
Why are you here? Like, what brought you to this point and in life? And like, what are you going through? And what are you, who you hope to connect with? Like, what are your intentions for this experience? Are you looking to meet other people to go out and go dancing with?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you here because you're getting over a breakup and mm-hmm. want to talk to other people who are also going through the same thing?
Yeah.
You know, there's everything that you could be happening to you in life is definitely happening to thousands and thousands of other women at the exact same time.
I love that. There's a group called ESME, Empowering Solo Moms Everywhere. We interviewed them last year, and that's such a beautiful concept, is to connect at a point, and they have tribes, literally, they call them tribes, and you're welcome to be part of multiple tribes, but, you know, there are women that are, you know, going through different things as being single parents, solo parents. They're going through different things, and so they get to kind of join and connect based on some of those vulnerable areas in their lives, but they're out there being vulnerable together. Tell me what some of your favorite stories of friendships you see coming out of the app. Tell me some of your favorite stories that you've come across.
Oh my gosh, you've had so many amazing stories.
That's awesome.
There's one set of Vinas, as we call them, because Vina means female friend. It's a direct translation to female friend in Icelandic.
Yeah.
So when you're a member of Vina, and you know, women all around the world, our extended tribe is are all of our Vinas.
Yes,
and so there are a couple of Vinas that met through the app. One had just moved to New York from London. The other had lived in New York for a while. And one was married and one was engaged, and met and they realized that they lived in the same neighborhood, started going for walks and showing each other around town, and became absolutely best friends. And one of the other became a bridesmaid in her wedding, and then their fiancé and husband, respectively,
mm-hmm.
got them best friend French bulldog puppies
oh.
as commemorative gift for their friendship. Which
awesome.
The photos are just insanely adorable, as you can imagine.
I love that.
We've had some members who met on the app and realized that they both had, after a couple of Vina dates, they realized that they both really wanted to go to Morocco. And for their third Vina date, they went to Marrakesh, and they traveled to many cities in Morocco. We had them do an Instagram takeover of a few days of their journey, where they were on camels and just adventuring all around. We've had, you know, stories of folks who, you know, got ghosted by their best friend, and, you know, it was really hard for them and going through a lot of, you know, self-doubt and questioning and, you know, the social anxiety that comes from that. And, you know, really she put herself out there and ended up making like 10 friends from Vina, and they have, I'm blanking on the name of their group that they've now named themselves, and they are, you know, doing it. They send us all these pictures of their dinner parties and all these amazing things, and all of them at one of their weddings, and so much fun stuff.
Well, it's such
There's like five girls that all moved in together because they met each other on Vina, and they got a big house
that.
And became roommates.
Oh my gosh, it's every girl's dream. Really is.
Right. It's like,
that you're taking these, you know, these could be potentially really negative, harmful experiences for people, and you can go to a pretty dark place, and that they've been able to together literally turn that around and make it into something beautiful is incredible. I love that so, so much.
Absolutely. I mean, we've all felt loneliness before, and that's like a pretty dark feeling. You know, one, it becomes coupled with so many other, you know, negative self-talk, and it's such a natural feeling, and it happens for whatever reason and has going on in your life, and it's no different, though, than feeling, you know, dehydrated or hungry or you need to get sleep. And what you need to do at that point is just take action and really go out there to solve the thing that is missing in your human basic human needs.
Yes, exactly. So one of the things that you said is you share yourself a lot. You're very honest and open, and obviously just kind of like I was compelled to start Tribe of Women, and believing in Tribes of Women is at my core. You obviously have that same that same core. You know, what are your personal stories and reasons for this app existing?
Yeah, so when I first moved to San Francisco, I moved from my hometown, where I had, you know, obviously lots of my hometown friends, and I moved to a brand new city where I didn't know anyone. I didn't have a job yet. I was living, you know, in my aunt's house. She was letting me crash with her, and I had no idea what my life plan was going to be, and I was just the new girl in a big city, and I very quickly went to, you know, not really doing a whole lot. There was kind of no tools out there to meet new friends, and I'd end up spending, like, you know, between my job search and not really knowing what else to do and being intimidated by the big city, you know, I'd spend up like 6 to 8 hours watching, like, Say Yes to the Dress, or like, and just going in this, like, you know, like, what am I doing with my life? This is so hard. And, you know, I started online dating, so I was like, well, at least I'll get out of the house and maybe, like, these guys will have friends. And, you know, that was, like, okay, but, and I made some new friends from that. They were all really great, nice guys, but wasn't necessarily finding, you know, chemistry for love. But I quickly realized that computers are pretty good at figuring out who you have things in common with.
Yes.
And they would show you that the women who were similar to you on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually started reading these other women's profiles, and I was like, these girls are so funny. They're so cool. They read the same books as I do. We like the same cocktails. Like, you know, they seem like my people. These seem like my people. Where, how do I meet them, though?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started messaging them on OkCupid, and so this is 2008, 2009. It was pre-dating app world, and I was getting rejected a lot, and, you know, because the intentionality of the platform wasn't for friendship. It was dating, and people thought it was hitting on them. And it was like, no, I'm new. I'm like, I don't really know. And I was horribly awkward. And just, I have like screenshots of some of these messages that I sent, exchanges I had. And they're so sad. And, you know, I can just see, like, I can really hear the struggle that I was feeling in my voice when I was writing. I was like, I don't know, it wouldn't be weird. Maybe we can meet for happy hour. Like, P.S. you have amazing eyebrows. Like, where do you think done?
Oh, I love it. I love it. And nobody believed you. They were like, no, that's not, it's not for real.
Well, no, like, it was like, no, thanks, not a lesbian. I'm like,
yes, yes. What do you think it is about? Obviously, you have personal experiences with friendships, that you were seeking friendships with women. What is it that you think about women being friends? And you've, you know, I read it a little bit earlier, the quote from your website, but what is it for you? What are your experiences? Why were you seeking out other women in particular in friendship? What is it from your experiences, either what you've had or what you've been missing, that you just feel like this is what's been missing?
You know, I think it's interesting because I've always been like a person who has like the best friend, or like the number one friend, and then a lot of other friends in like the best friend tier, and then, you know, the extended circle from there. And, you know, that best friend, like, point, that person that you go to first for everything, like, that ends up being kind of like a rotating role, because of various things in life. And, you know, I've always really appreciated having these really close friendships, and they really have helped me go survive a lot of really challenging, like, family situations that I had growing up, where, you know, things were kind of a hard time going on in my family, and my friends were the ones that showed up and, like, picked me up and when I was crying my eyes out or grieving. I lost my sister when I was 11, and grieving, you know, my older sister became really hard, obviously, yeah. And but really turning to close friends mm-hmm. to be able to survive that really hard life situation and finding my sisterhood yeah. with other women, because, you know, there was suddenly this kind of void for yeah. me.
Yeah, and we don't always have to be going through exactly the same thing to just kind of stand beside each other and just be there. And, you know, we will all experience very similar things at some point in time in our life. It may be not at that moment, but that's important. And the different ways that people have friendships, I think, you know, there are people that just have a really small, tight, close-knit group of friends. And we talk a lot about the fact that that's okay. You know, as long as you're not going out and being mean to other people in the process, you know, that you can't sit with us kind of thing, then, you know, it's okay to have, you know, smaller, more protected groups. And then it's also okay to have, you know, a lot of friends. You know, some people just like, they're just very social and they like to have loads and loads of friends. So I think that there's also just where we are in life and as we get older and, you know, maybe when we go from school out into the workforce and then into the world, you know, some of those different dynamics change. But I think that the fact that you've identified that women are so important is so important. And I don't think it's wrong that we're different when we're together and that we talk about different things and that we, you know, our ultimate goal for Tribe of Women is Tribe of Human. I mean, I would love for all of us to be treating each other with the love and the dignity and the respect and the openness. But I do feel like it starts with us treating each other that way and building those bonds together, because I think we do connect differently as women. I mean, there are just some things that men will not ever understand. Sorry.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the way that women communicate with each other is the validation of your experience.
Yes.
And the support, as opposed to being necessarily in a problem-solving mode, which is typically the kind of more masculine mm-hmm. communication style.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, you know, finally putting together my group of friends in San Francisco, and it had taken me like a couple of years to figure it out. But we started hosting these regular dinner parties, and, you know, it was really about sharing our experiences, mm-hmm. validating each other's experiences,
yeah.
and having people champion and cheer you on,
yes.
whether it was, you know, going for a new job or, you know, talking through what's going on in the relationships that you're having. Mm-hmm. It really makes a difference to have people say, you know, that experience you're having, like, yes, I get it. It's hard. Me too. And mm-hmm. that is really powerful.
It is. You have an app that is in 158 countries, last I checked. Are you still at that number? Or are you growing?
Yeah, we might be in more countries yet. We haven't checked it. There's not that many more countries.
I know.
But,
that's awesome.
But it is truly, you can open up, you know, anywhere in the world and, you know, see women, see the women in the community of women around you.
That's awesome.
So that's a really fantastic thing. I was at a wedding in Italy and I was swiping and messaging around with women in Milan and Pisa and all over the place. And you can really just, I sometimes place myself in different places around the world just to
yeah.
you know, see who our members are in those
yeah.
places, from Saudi Arabia to South America, Brazil, or Moscow, or, you know, Norway. It's really interesting. One of the things that I really noticed, though, is that we're kind of all the same everywhere. I mean, like, we're all different in our own, you know, unique ways, but there are so many commonalities in the things that we think and what we want to do and, you know, what we're going through. We're so similar in every place around the world. And so I think it's just a really testament to, you know, the experience of being a woman.
Oh, I love that. That's absolutely true. Do you have some hopes for kind of next steps? I mean, you obviously just won an award last year. Or what are some of your, don't have to give any spoilers away, but what are some of the big next steps or hopes that you have for the app?
So So I, you know, for us, it's all about growth. I mean, the value of the community is the community itself. At the end of the day, you know, we make technology that enables people to find and discover each other, but the real value is in, you know, the incredible members that we have and what they bring to the table, the events and plans that they make, the, you know, and effort that they put into their profiles and the conversations that they have with each other. That's the real value at the end of the day. Like, you know, I'm building a tool for that. And so for us, it's always, you know, we want to get more and more people on the platform and really help make a dent in making our lives better and helping you get out there and do great things and have, you know, make memories and have adventures and, you know, laugh until you cry and your belly aches and you're like, oh my gosh, this is the best workout I've had all week.
Exactly.
Can I say that we're a fitness app? I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
If you're doing it right, it's a fitness app.
It absolutely is. Well, you are building cultures of women supporting women, and we're so excited to support you in that venture. And I know that we'll have a lot of things to move forward on from this point. So one of the things that we always close our podcast with is a question. And I already said that you speak tribe eloquently, which you do. All of your Venas out there building tribes together, because we really can change the world for the better when we are together. So tell me a little bit, if you could put it concisely, why do you believe in tribes of women?
I think it's, you know, it's the foundation of the same way we started, it's the foundation of everything. It's our ability to build businesses and build lives and overcome the greatest hurdles that life throws at you, and to do it gracefully and empowered and feeling confident that you can actually, you know, achieve and do and survive and thrive. And so I think the power of women coming together is truly revolutionary. You know, we're seeing it in politics and we're seeing it in media and we're seeing it all over the place. And it only takes a few women coming together to come up with an idea and to make huge waves in the world. And so that's my belief in tribes of women.
All I can say to that is amen. That is awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time today beyond words. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been great.
Do you believe in tribes of women? Join the tribe at tribeofwomen.com. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook using @tribeofwomen. And share Tribe Talk and Tribe of Women with your tribe. Thanks for listening. Until next time.